What am I going to say? Okay, let's open it. Well, I'm pleased to be back, picking back up the training sessions that I had begun a couple of years ago, specifically for elders. At that time, I did about 19 sessions, some of them including interviews, one with Cora Hogan, ministering to elderly, with Carol Wynn, making hospital visits. You might remember that four-part series with Steph Hubach on how to be sensitive to families with children with special needs. Now I'm having an interview here with David Apple, who's the director of our Mercy Ministry. I'm introducing him only in the sense that he will begin his own series specifically for deacons and for the deaconesses in our church. We hope it will also be useful to other deacons and the greater church involved. David has done a number of these training sessions, and now we're going to get them recorded. And so I do want to say a few words about the purpose of what we're doing, our series and so on for our own church. One of our goals here, by doing this, these recordings and placing them online, is in a sense what we really want to do is decentralize much of the training that we do to go out into the parishes, the six parishes of our church, particularly the parish councils. We encourage you, not only deacons to be observing these, but also elders as well, and really anyone in the church will be able to benefit from these. But we think it'd be particularly beneficial if these can be viewed together in parish councils or in some other kind of setting in which both elders, deacons, and again, deaconesses of our church could look at these together. So as to all the more encourage teamwork there in the parishes. And again, I mentioned David Apple here, director of our Mercy Ministries. And David, you have been involved for many years already doing diaconal training. Can you give me or give us a little bit of history or background about the opportunities you've had to do training?
Sure. I've been on staff here since 1988, and I guess for 20 years I've provided training for our own deacons and members of the congregation in diaconal and mercy ministry. Plus, I've had opportunity over that time to visit churches throughout the U.S. training their deacons and helping to equip their congregations.
And just recently, I believe you've been visiting some other churches to do some diaconal training?
Exactly.
Where have you gone?
Pasadena, Maryland, recently, Village 7 Church in Colorado, this Saturday, the following Saturday, I'll be at Glasgow PCA Church in Delaware. Mm-hmm. So wherever God calls me, I'm happy to go and lend a hand.
Okay. Now, David, you had been talking to me earlier before about what is... You do have a goal in mind when you're meeting with deacons and you're doing training. How would you express what your goal is for deacons?
The goal essentially is to help deacons work smarter and more effectively, to be filled with joy and not any sense of stress in their duties as they minister to others.
So you mentioned this about stress. Is this a common problem that you find for deacons, stress?
Yes, one of the things that deacons say when I ask them what they believe their problems are, one is that the deacons are too busy because they're working ineffectively. Many churches believe that it's the deacon's job to do all of the ministry rather than it's the deacon's job to equip the congregation for works of service. Because of that, I find that they're really anxious about putting themselves out because they're really ill-equipped for this. And so they have many fears about about what to do and how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hear a couple of things in here when you use that term ineffective. The primary thing it makes me think about is just one, as you mentioned, just not equipped well enough in understanding. But you also mentioned, though, about the importance of delegation. Let's look at those two points. First of all, about not being well equipped. What are they not equipped, or how are they not equipped? Can you give any ideas about that, or what you mean? I mean, like how to come alongside people, how to actually talk with people. And
exactly. The whole idea of coming alongside is being Jesus to others. And what Jesus did when he came to earth was visit us. The scripture says in John 1 that he actually pitched his tent with us. He came alongside, he got to know what the nitty-gritty details of our lives so that he could really show love and concern and compassion and be equipped to give glory to the Father. Now, many people don't really want to come alongside of others because of fear of what will they think of me if I say something wrong? What will they do? Will they like me? So there is the fear of having to please other people rather than the desire to be obedient to Jesus Christ and serve him. So we really serve an audience of one. It doesn't matter what other people think. Mm-hmm. But in the back of our minds, we're apprehensive and we hold back most of the time because, well, we don't want this person not to like us. The goal should really be showing up and allowing God to work in and through us and letting him get the glory.
You know, I've heard you talk about that before, and I imagine in one of the sessions you'll expound more about this thing about showing up. But tell me just a little bit more about that, because I've, again, heard you say that over and over again, just how important it is just to do that.
The most important thing a deacon can do is to be available. And so if he, a deacon in this case, or a deaconess, female servant in some way, is available to come alongside of someone who they realize is hurting, they see someone's body language and they wonder what is going on in that person's life. It seems that they're being bothered by something. There's a frown on their face where before there was more light. So just approaching someone and asking a simple question, not being apprehensive how they'll respond, because the response usually is, you cared about me. You saw my need and you approached me. And there's such a delight in that by others, because they recognize that we see them as important enough to care for.
So when, again, I know you'll be getting more into these things, it sounds like one definition of a deacon is just someone who's willing to be there, to show up, to be available for other people.
That's the model of Jesus.
Now, the other point, when you were speaking about having or being qualified or having the abilities was or acting smart enough was about delegation. Explain a little bit more about what you meant by that.
As you look out over the body of Christ, there are many people, many needs. The Book of Church Order delineates many tasks that a deacon does, and many are people tasks, coming alongside of those who are hurting, using the one another verses, building one another up, comforting one another. There are also many tasks regarding worship. Now, the first deacons' qualifications were to be filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. They were managers of God's first diaconal ministry. So they didn't do it, nor were they called to do it all by themselves. They were supposed to manage this new ministry and raise up leaders. Well, that's what deacons today should be doing, looking out over the congregation and raising up leaders who can pitch in and assume the roles that are necessary in worship, the ushering, the offering, helping with communion. There are many deacons who do this and do it well, but it's really important to the life of the body, for the body to be healthy, that more and more people be included, that they be mobilized, that they be motivated. Mm-hmm. And we should really be raising up servants from the early age, so that in Sunday school classes, children grow in the understanding that the church is meant for others. Mm-hmm. That it's my goal now to help people, even if it's a child and he's helping his mom and dad, but that he or she will grow in that understanding in later life, mm-hmm. and have a zeal for service.
Well, it's interesting when you make reference back to the original deacons and heads, and we know that there was a church of a minimum of 3,000. Mm-hmm. 3,000 were baptized in one day,
right.
And over time went undoubtedly. It was even much larger than that. And it's interesting that the apostles said choose seven deacons to manage the work. And so it's obviously they had to do, as what you said, manage, as opposed to being the ones being the only ones to go out and go minister and provide food and needs for every single people,
right.
Every person out there.
Right. And there are churches today where the deacons do everything, and the deacons burn out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right for this that kind of paradigm to exist.
It would be interesting sometime to do an exploration. How did it to move out to where deacons did everything? I guess in the early church, of course, there's no church building. And so there's no taking care of the grounds or whatever. But evidently, when a sister came and we started to have church buildings, well, I don't know what the church history is on that, and how, at least in the Protestant faith, how it just assumed that the deacons would handle everything, basically. Anything that an elder does not do, and that's in what the deacon does.
Yes, in the 18th and 19th century, the paradigm in the Presbyterian Church was that the deacons were the trustees. They took care of the property and the building and the finances. And if there were no needs in the church, financial needs, mm-hmm. they didn't look beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
But so they were janitors,
mm-hmm.
and they were caretakers of the property.
Mm-hmm.
And that when that particular church migrated to the U.S., that paradigm continued.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's not biblical.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit more about challenges the deacons face. You mentioned there's stress, there's fear of approaching people. Any other challenges that come to your mind that when you have gone out in particular, particularly if you've gone to other churches, is there like a common thread as well with other challenges?
There are always challenges there, but overall, I'd say when I've listened to deacons, and that is one of the primary things that deacons need to do, is be able to listen to the pulse of the congregation. But in many cases, there's no one, not a pastor, nor an elder, or other leader, who listens to the needs of the deacons. and they may say, you know, we're not quite sure what to do in this situation, or we're not sure whether we're even allowed to make referrals to other organizations, whether they're parachurch organizations or government or private run organizations. They're just perplexed in many, many cases. They have a goal of serving God well, but they themselves have not been equipped properly.
Will you then in these sessions help provide specific really answers to some of these questions for our own diaconate as to where they can go for help, resources that they can turn to here in this city and area?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the sessions they'll be doing is on the role of the deacon, and that includes making proper use of other agencies' resources. I mean, the resources that they have essentially are God's resources, and it's the church's or the deacon's responsibility to see that they are being accountable well for these resources. So the church doesn't have to rely only on its own people resources and its own financial resources, but to see where in the community there are vital services that can benefit our people.
Now, let me back up for a moment. You mentioned about it is the task of the deacons, not just the deacons, but it is for them as well to have a pulse of what's going on with the congregation, what the needs are. But on the other hand, that the Presbyterian system, that the elders need to know the pulse of the deacons. Talk to me a little bit more about that.
Well, it's really important that there be communication between the leadership of the church. The pastors, the elders, and the deacons really need to be on the same page, talking about their people together, praying for their people together, working as tenth has, integrating the shepherd gifts of the elder and the servant gifts of the deacon. So they work together with individual cases. That wasn't always the case at 10th, but they recognized that an area that the deacons and the elders were weak in, and that was communicating. And because they knew it was a simple solution, that it was a matter of just spending time regularly together, and in the context of our own parish system, to be able to focus on specific people within a geographic area, so that if the deacon saw that there was obviously if there's a financial need, there's usually some kind of spiritual need that goes with it. So it's important for the elder and the deacon to be working together and then supporting one another in the ministry to that particular person or family.
Now, what about also, I mean, you have them working together, but I guess the importance of the elder to be aware of the deacon just himself, of his own needs, what he's going through, that he's not feeling alone out there. You by the way, are an ordained elder.
Yes.
You know, in the, you were an elder in the Christian Reformed Church. So can you say a little bit about that? That it's, we tend to, as leaders, officers, we may work well together in working to do things, but sometimes actually don't take time to say, how are you doing? And how important is that for the elder to be asking the deacon that?
It's important for the elder to recognize the needs around him, not only with the deacon, If the person is an elder, then he should be eldering wherever he is. He's right. Never not an elder. I mean, here's an opportunity specifically with another leader of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that the deacons or deaconesses are encouraged and are built up in every way so they can serve. One of the things that 10th has in its favor is the monthly parish meetings, where the leaders of the parish will get together, and there is an opportunity in a safe, intimate setting to really bring some of those needs out in the open and pray. But outside of that, the elder and the deacon really needs to develop a trusting relationship so that the elder will seek out the deacons in his mm-hmm. particular parish mm-hmm. to make sure that he or she has everything that they need, and to note by their body language or anything else if anything is different
mm-hmm.
or in need of shoring up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I know that you have been already preparing sessions that you'll be doing on your own. Can you tell me what some of those sessions will be?
Sure.
Topics?
Sure. One of them I mentioned already, the role of the deacon.
Mm-hmm.
What are the specific roles that each deacon has, and from Scripture, how this comes about and how to put it into practice. Another is qualifications, biblical qualifications of deacon.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just stop for a second. I'm glad that right at the beginning you're going to deal with the role of the deacon. When I did my series, first thing I did is pretty much what is the role of the elder, and identified the elder as primarily as a shepherd, and that's the biblical image. And there, you know, there are books out there that have been done, but I found just even within our own denomination, I mean, we know, you know, deacon is a servant, okay, but we got that, but as we particularly have been wrestling or there's been debates, I mean, it's clear that in our denomination that deacons is an ordained position, but as we have those discussions, what becomes a little bit less clear is just what is it that really identifies that deacon as deacon, because you can say, well, everybody's a servant and so on. So I'm glad that you will take time just to help the deacons get their minds around that particular item. So you mentioned also qualifications. You'll be looking at the scriptural things. Any other topics that you plan to touch on?
Yes. How to come alongside of people. How to be a good listener.
Just in a very practical way to do that. You'll get some very practical...
Absolutely. Absolutely. What I'll be doing is going through one specific conversation,
yeah,
and between, in this case, a deacon and a single parent. And the ability that the deacon has of listening and posing appropriate questions, as you go through the conversation, and this is what I thought when I used this initially, the deacon was in essence acting like a good interviewer, you know, someone who would be on TV
mm-hmm.
and asking leading questions in order to bring out the best information, establishing trust and intimacy in a short period of time with the person. And showing the love of Christ in a marvelous way. Because I mentioned that the deacons have fears going in. How is this person going to respond to me? Will I like what I say?
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the same fears are in the lives of the people in the pew. You know, will they judge me? Will they think less of me because I'm in some kind of difficulty? Whether it's something that I myself got into, or I was the victim in mm-hmm. some case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as speaking on the side of the elders as well, that's just a very common problem is people have needs.
Mm-hmm.
They feel ashamed, they're nervous, I don't know how many times people will say to me, well, I'm sorry I have to ask, or I know I'm imposing, or I know, and what I have to remind them is, that's what the shepherd is here for,
mm-hmm.
So that we want to. Speak to me just a little bit on this. I know that for, speaking again for the elders and for deacons and also for our deaconesses, is that all of us are pretty good at responding. That when people ask us for help, we're quite happy to come alongside them. But this need to be more proactive, not waiting for people to come to us, but being alert to coming alongside of them. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of that, or need for that?
Absolutely. It's so easy to wait until someone's in need, and it's their responsibility to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, people will not ask because of, as you said, they may feel embarrassed
mm-hmm.
or ashamed because their need has placed them in a certain mental incapacity.
Mm-hmm.
But the elder and the deacon and the pastor and others in the congregation really have to take on that aspect of shepherding, because there's a flock there and there are many people who are hurting, and it's so important that when we see someone hurting, or if we sense that someone may be in despair or feeling ill or ill at ease, that we come alongside
mm-hmm.
and take the risk of saying, excuse me, it seems that something is different or something wrong, and then ask permission.
Mm-hmm.
May I ask if something is wrong?
Mm-hmm.
So once we receive permission, the door is open,
mm-hmm.
and we can enter in with gentleness and great love and grace. But it's so important for all of the leaders to be on the lookout all the time so that people don't fall between the cracks and leave the church. Or because we have acted insincerely, that their image of God becomes distorted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you also, I'm sure you will be touching on the topic you mentioned about the importance of doing delegating, how to do that, how to find people, how to recruit people, and do your own training. Of people to come alongside and take over your responsibilities?
Yeah, I think it's more, that will be more in context
mm-hmm.
of other teaching,
mm-hmm.
How to use so much of the motivating and mobilizing has to be a full effort. So if it doesn't come from the pulpit as a reinforcement,
mm-hmm.
if people aren't taught that we're the body of Christ, and the body needs to work effectively to help itself,
mm-hmm.
and it needs to grow in a way that is healthy. I can teach all I want, but if the other leaders are not teaching the same thing,
mm-hmm.
then my work itself isn't so smart and isn't so effective.
Well, David, thank you. I hope everyone's going to be looking forward to the sessions that you'll be carrying on. Now, David is planning some topics. I'm also be working on some more topics as well. But where are we you know, the great benefit of doing these recording sessions is that we're not limited to a certain set, and we have to get all the topics filled in a certain amount of time. And what we really want to do is to be able to hear back from you after you have looked at these sessions, questions that you may have. Certainly relate those to David or to myself, and we'll prepare more training sessions. We'll also be bringing in other people as well, interviewing them, and so that, again, we want this to be as practical, helpful to both elders and to deacons, and to your assistants and to deaconesses as possible. Encourage other people in the church to view these as well. Our goal is to build up the body of Jesus Christ, to come alongside our brothers and sisters in true need, answering to our Lord. And so we want everyone to work in this together. So let me close this particular time together in prayer. Our Father, we give you praise for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our good shepherd, who is the elder of the church, who is the great servant, the great deacon, who has come and served the church. He is our model. He is the one who rules over us, and yet at the same time serves us, ministers to us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that he has given to us to enable us to carry out these important, these waiting roles, to shepherd, to serve your people. And I pray now for these sessions that we will continue to do, to be of true help for our brothers and for our sisters as we all work together again to build, to bless the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.